However, there is a fourth layer called Vijnanamaya Kosha, or the etheric body. Jnana means knowledge. Vishesh Jnana means extraordinary knowledge, that which is beyond the sense perceptions. This is a transient state. It is neither physical nor non-physical. It is like a link between the two. It is not in your current level of experience, because your experience is limited to the five sense organs, which cannot perceive the non-physical. Those who report near-death experiences, or those who could have slipped accidentally into this state, such an experience occurs when, for some reason, people's physical, mental and energy bodies have become feeble. If you learn to find conscious access to this dimension, there will be a quantum leap in your ability to know the cosmic phenomenon. There is also a fifth seat, the Anandamaya Kosha, which is beyond the physical entirely. Ananda means bliss. It has nothing to do with the physical realms of life. A dimension that is beyond physical cannot be described or even defined. So yoga talks about it only in terms of experience. When we are in touch with that aspect beyond the physical, we become blissful. It is not that a bubble of bliss lies within your physical structure. It is just that when you access this indefinable dimension, it produces an overwhelming experience of bliss. But bliss is not a goal in itself. Once you touch this dimension of non-existence, blissfulness is guaranteed. In this state, you are no more an issue in your own life. When you are no more an issue, you can fearlessly explore the beyond. When you touch this dimension beyond definition, the impact of time and space is obliterated. This accounts for the many stories of yogis sitting unmoving for incredibly long periods of time. This is possible not because of physical endurance, but because in these states they are not available to the process of time. They have touched a dimension beyond all the contradictions of here and there, now and then, a limitless ocean of emptiness, where there is neither bondage nor freedom, an existence beyond existence. Yoga does not ask you to work with anything other than what you know. It simply tells you that if the physical, mental and energy bodies are perfectly aligned, you will find access to the bliss body. But your work, as we said before, is only with the first three bodies. When it comes to external realities, each human being is differently capable. What one does, the other may not be able to do. But when it comes to inner realities, all of us are equally capable. There is no guarantee that you will be able to sing, dance, climb a mountain, or make money merely because you want to. But making your inner life blissful is something that everyone is capable of. It cannot be denied to you if you are willing. Once you master certain basic yogic technologies for inner well-being, your journey through life becomes absolutely effortless. You are able to express yourself in your fullest potential without any stress or strain. You can play with life whichever way you want, but life cannot leave a single scratch upon you. So to experience well-being, all you need is a certain mastery over these three dimensions of body, mind and energy. Being successful in the world depends on your ability to harness these dimensions according to the needs of your life situations and the activity you want to perform. But yoga is also the science of aligning these three dimensions so that you reach the ultimate state of ecstatic union with life itself. How does one reach this ultimate union? Yoga tells us there are a few fundamental ways. If you employ your physical body to reach the ultimate union, we call this karma yoga or the yoga of action. If you employ your intelligence to reach your ultimate nature, we call it jnana yoga, yoga of intelligence. If you employ your emotions to reach your ultimate nature, we call this bhakti yoga, yoga of devotion. And if you use your energies to reach the supreme experience, we call this Kriya Yoga, Yoga of Transforming Energies. Every human being is a unique combination of the same ingredients. All these aspects, karma, jnana, bhakti, kriya, have to function in an integrated way if one wants to get anywhere. If these four dimensions, body, mind, emotion, energy, don't walk together, you will be one big mess. Once it happened, four men were walking in the forest. The first was a jnana yogi, the second was a bhakti yogi, the third was a karma yogi, and the fourth was a kriya yogi. Usually these four people can never be together. The jnana yogi has total disdain for every other type of yoga. His is the yoga of the intellect, and typically an intellectual has complete disdain for everybody else, particularly these devotional types who look upward and chant God's name all the time. They look like a bunch of idiots to him. But a bhakti yogi, a devotee, thinks all this jnana, karma, kriya is a waste of time. He pities the others who don't see that all you need to do is know that God exists, hold His hand and walk in trust. All this mind-splitting philosophy, this bone-bending yoga is absurd to him. Then there is the karma yogi, the man of action. He thinks all the other types are just plain lazy. Their lives are pure self-indulgence. But the kriya yogi is the most disdainful of all. He laughs at everyone. Don't they know that existence is just energy? If you don't transform your energy, whether you long for God or for anything else, nothing is going to happen. There can be no transformation without transforming energies. These four people customarily cannot get along, but today they happen to be walking together in the forest. Suddenly a storm broke loose. It grew fierce. The rain started pouring down relentlessly. Drenched to the skin, the four yogis started running, looking desperately for shelter. The bhakti yogi, the devotion man, said, "There is an ancient temple in this direction. Let's go there." As a devotee, he was particularly familiar with the geography of temples. They ran in that direction. They came to an ancient temple. All the walls had crumbled long ago. Just the roof and four columns remained. They rushed into the temple, not out of any love for God, but just to escape the rain. There was a deity in the center. They ran toward it. The rain started lashing from every direction. There was no other place to go, so they moved closer and closer. Finally, there was no alternative. They just sat down and embraced the idol. The moment these four people hugged the idol, suddenly God appeared. In all their minds, the same question arose, "Why now?" They wondered, "We expounded so many subtle and arcane philosophies, worshipped at every possible sacred shrine, great and small, selflessly served so many people, did so much body-breaking penance, but you never showed up. Now when we are just escaping the rain, you turn up. Why?" God said, "At last you four idiots got together." Yoga is, quite simply, the science of bringing the four idiots together. Right now, for most people, these four dimensions are aligned in different directions. Your mind is thinking one way, your emotions pull you another way, your physical body another way, your energies another way. This makes you a potential calamity, a disaster in waiting. You are being hijacked. You are being pulled apart in four different ways. It is now time to plunge into the adventure of self-alignment, into the remarkable empirical system that is yoga, one that enables you to be both alchemist and experiment, subject and object at the same time. And so the next section of this book turns pragmatic. Having mapped the terrain, we now embark on a real journey. a conscious journey of self-discovery and self-reclamation. We will explore the nature and possibilities of the first three yogic layers or sheets, namely body, mind, which includes thought and emotion, and energy. It will also introduce you to strategies by which you can turn each of these layers into a tool for transformation, an instrument of knowing. The problem is that religious nuts around the world have exported everything that is beautiful about a human being to the other world. If you talk of love, they speak of divine love. If you talk of bliss, they speak of divine bliss. If you talk of peace, they speak of divine peace. We have forgotten that these are all human qualities. A human being is fully capable of joy, of love, of peace. Why do you want to export these to heaven? There is so much talk of God and heaven mainly because human beings have not realized the immensity of being human. It is obvious that the very source of life is throbbing within you. The source of your life is also the source of every other life, the source of all creation. This dimension of intelligence or consciousness exists in every one of us. The deliverance of every human being lies in finding access to this deathless dimension, to be joyful and peaceful within yourself every moment of your life, to be able to perceive life beyond its physical limitations. These are not superhuman qualities. These are human possibilities. Yoga is not about being superhuman, but about realizing that being human is super.